Okay. Well, it's a great pleasure to be talking here. So thank you to Justin for the invitation. So today I'm talking about how to extend a procedure due to Gyatso-Morin night sky called non-abelianization, which they introduced for SLN and GLN, to arbitrary reductive algebraic groups G. And what it's about is it's about giving coordinate charts on character variety or the moduli of local systems. So I'd like to start with a reminder about local systems, which I'll consider on some topological space X. So first version is it's a locally constant sheaf of vector bund, sheaf of vector spaces X. And an example of how you might get that is if you have a holomorphic vector bundle with a flat connection, then you can take the sheaf of flat sections, sheaf of solutions, and that will give you such an object. So the second viewpoint is that we can do parallel transport with flat connection. So if I have X, I choose a base point, then to each path, I can parallel transport and use the locally constant nature to keep on identifying fibers next to each other. And so I get a map from pi 1 xx to automorphisms of ex. And well, if I identify ex with c to the n, then this is a map from pi 1 xx to GLN, and if I chose a different identification of EX with CN, I'd basically, it would affect the map by conjugation. And the same happens if I pick a different base point. I can identify the two by a choice of path, and it will correspond to still absorbed in the conjugation. Okay, so there are moduli spaces of these. And the first example is the one-dimensional case. Then on a surface of genus G, there's two G generators. There's a single relation which is automatically satisfied for maps to an abelian group. So you get C star to the 2n, and then you're quotienting by C star, which is acting trivially. A more interesting example is if we have a topological surface X then choosing a Riemann surface top of X such that underlying topological space is the same means you'll get an action of pi 1 X on the universal covering space. And we'll assume the genus is greater than or equal to 2, which identifies this with the upper half plane. And so the isometries of the upper half plane are isomorphic to PSL2R. And what this gives us is an identification of the moduli space of locally constant systems with a PSL2R structure, which I'll come back to, is isomorphic to the Teich-Muller space on X top, disjoint union with the Teich-Muller space on X top with the opposite orientation. Okay, so to really deal with that last example, we need to generalize from vector bundles to G bundles. Just locally constant G bundle or a locally constant sheaf of G torsors. And here we're going to get automorphisms of the fiber as a G torsor, which can be identified with G. Now, so the line bundle case is really nice. We've got a very explicit description, while in the other cases, we don't have that. Now, in Guyot-O'Moore and Knightsky's non-abelianization, they showed how we can provide maps from these moduli spaces to moduli spaces for SLN. I'm going to do a slight modification and use GLN, but the rough outline is you start with the moduli space of flat one-dimensional local systems. On an n to 1 cover of X. And I'm going to make the restriction now that X is non-compact. So X is equal to a compact Riemann surface, remove some effective divisor. Well, and R is going to call P in here the branch locus, and I want to remove the preimage of those points. So if I have such a local system, I can push it forward . I'm going to add a monodromy condition around pi inverse of P, which I'm not going to explain. I can push it forward to pi star of L. And so this gives me a map to local systems on X, remove the branch points. These are going to be GLN local systems. Now, what non-abelianization does is it provides a modification of this that extends the that modifies the local system to get one that extends to all of X. If we just consider the simplest possible case of ramification, then can consider on a circle X, and X bar is the cover that's not just two copies of the circle. Now, if I choose a point here and the preimage of this point here, so that's x1, x2, then if I consider the monodromy on the push forward, it's equivalent to going round here, which means I have L restricted to x1 plus L restricted to x2. And what I'll get is an off-diagonal matrix. So it's definitely not going to extend. What I could now do is I could cut this circle here. And then use some automorphism of the fiber at this point to re-glue it. L here. P star push forward of L restricted to this point. So that's then an identification of these two ends. I can put it together and I get a new bundle. New local system with monodromy. With monodromy being this. In particular, if I chose the monodromy to be the inverse matrix, it would cancel out. But that's not all that interesting. So now, if we're not doing it on the circle, if we're doing it on the Riemann surface, we're going to want a way and these are, say, the branch points. We're going to want a way to cut the surface up, and then we want to re-glue along each of these. So if rather than just a GLN local system on X remove P, we have a GLN local system on X remove P, together with locally constant sections of the automorphisms of epsilon restricted to each connected component of W. So this is W. By each connected component, I mean that if I had something like this, I want to basically puncture that. So if I have this, I can then do this procedure of re-gluing by the automorphisms, and I'll get a GLN local system on X remove P union J, where J are the intersections of lines in W. And if you really, the idea is we construct a particular map here that factor such that the map, when we re-glue, factors through J
GLN local systems on X. And then this map here will be the non-abelianization map. Okay. This lift should commute with the forgetful map here. Okay. So now I want to talk about how this can be done for G. So the modifications are, well, here it's simple. I just cross out GLN, write G. Here it's simple, cross out GLN, write G. Here it's simple, cross out GLN, write G. Here I have to say something. So, first question is analog of C star local systems on X bar remove pi inverse of P and the analog of the monodromy condition that I didn't specify. Okay, the second point is, what is W? And what is W in both cases? And the third point, which I may or may not get to, is, I don't know. When I first came across this construction, it felt really weird mathematically. So third part would be motivation for doing this sort of cutting and gluing procedure. Okay. I'm going to start on one. Oh, actually, there is one more thing I should say. In the case where we use SL2, these agree with the Fock-Goncharov coordinates, which agree with the Thurston-Cherbend coordinates. So that this nicely ties into sort of classical differential geometry. Okay, so some analogies between GLN and G. For GLN, we have locally constant vector bundles. And for G, we have locally constant principal G bundles. And if E is in here, then HOM, locally constant morphisms from E to the constant C to the N bundle are the associated principal GLN bundle, where GLN acts by postcomposing with maps from C into CN. So the difference between spectral covers, which at the moment are just maps X bar to X, which are N to 1, is similar. There's an object called a Camerel cover, which is due to Nagy, Faltings, and Scognamillo independently. And you can tank HOM from X bar of X from X bar to so such a homomorphism is a labeling of the shapes.
You literally mean isomorphisms in each.
So here it's an isomorphism.
And both, I mean, for it to be a torsor for GLAD or for it to be a torsor for SN. I'm being pedantic.
Yes. Yes. We don't want ones going to a lower rank subspace. And here it's the same. So the Kammerer cover will correspond to labelings of the branches of the spectral cover. Okay. This black screen is probably that my laptop has gone to sleep. Oh, great. Can't be too important.
There's another water screen over there, too.
Let's see. Hi. So for SL3, one way I can get these spectral covers is by taking a family of polynomials and taking the roots of those polynomials. So if the real picture of X bar looks like this, with two of those roots becoming the same, then in the Kammerer cover, we're looking at all the labelings of these branches as 1, 2, 3. There's 6 such labelings. And as 2 of these labels are always switched, where all of these branches are going to be ramified at this point. So I should say something about the next point, which is how these come from polynomials, or more generally, points in the Hitchin base. So if I have so I'm going to deal with spectral covers that are some subset of differentials twisted by some divisor. That's
reduced. Just divisor.
You mean that there's no multiplicities? Yes. Thank you. And I'm going to do that by here. I'm going to have a polynomial, lambda to the n plus a1, lambda to the n minus 1, plus an, where the lambda is a section. Lambda is the tautological section of the pullback of this bundle to itself. And then the AIs have to be sections of the ith product here. Okay. So another way we can see this is giving us families of polynomials, or families of the roots of those polynomials, where we're considering it as an unordered set, and we're not worrying about swapping the order of the roots. So roots of a polynomial are given by Cn. Quotienting, by not worrying about the order, is acting on it by Sn. And they're valued in this line bundle. So we should really consider Cn tensor C, Kxcd, quotient by Sn. And we can really see the Cn as corresponding to the toral Lie algebra for GLn. So this then suggests the way to generalize this for arbitrary G as sections of T tensor with KXCD modulo W, where T is the toral Lie algebra and W is the Weyl group. We can associate this to a Camerel cover by taking the pullback like so. So away from where you intersect the root hyperplanes, you're going to have a W bundle, and you're going to have some sorts of singularities corresponding to those. Then the final part of this is what on the Camerel cover corresponds to these locally constant line bundles on the spectral cover. And well, if we have a line bundle, if we ignore how the spectral cover isn't trivial, we've got one local system on each branch of the spectral cover. We've got a copy of the multiplicative group acting on each of these, except we don't know which one's which. They can change around by Sn. So we should think about the Sn as being the Weyl group, the torus being the C to the power of n, star to the power of n being the torus. And so we get the normalizer group. GM local systems on X bar move C. Now, if we have an local system, we can quotient by the torus, and we're going to get a W local system. Now, here we're fixing the W local system to be the spectral cover. Here we're going to fix it to be the Camerel cover. But again, we're going to remove the preimage of the branch points where things don't quite work. So I'll just say that this identification is an analog of the simple case of Donaghy-Gates-Gray, where they're doing the same thing, but they don't have the they're dealing with line bundles rather than locally constant line bundles, and they have, they have to deal with the singularities. Okay.
Can I ask you a quick question?
So yep.
The relationship between X tilde and X bar?
So the idea is that X tilde, so for GLn, X tilde, branches of X tilde correspond to labelings of branches of X bar.
You just didn't write that that Hom space was X tilde.
Ah.
And is there supposed to be a bar on that section?
You mean here?
No, I mean in that line. Sections, you want sections over.
Ah. There is not meant to be a bar. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Where you're like, you
GM local system is on the spectral cover, and the analog is away from the singular points, T local systems on the camera.
I'm coming to that.
Okay.
Yes, so here somehow, I said N local systems where the associated W local system was camera on cover. This is equivalent, and again, this is an analog of work of Tanaki Gates Gray, to, well, I can consider epsilon n mapping to epsilon n mod t isomorphic to x tilde remove pi inverse of p is a t bundle on the camera cover. Now, but I'm not going to get all T bundles. I'm going to get T bundles which sort of remember the N action. So in the as N is sort of T and the Weyl group, I'd like to say W equivariant. But I can't say W equivariant because usually the normalizer sequence 1 to t to n to w, this doesn't always split. If it splits, I can say w equivariant. If it doesn't split, I can say n shifted weakly W equivariant, which again is a notion of Tanaki and Gates-Gray. What this means is I have a short exact sequence. Okay, this. I need a commutative diagram where essentially what I need is I need a map to automorphisms which allow me to map, which are a pair of x tilde to x tilde given by an element of the Weyl group, and a map from, I'm just going to call this L for simplicity.
I'm a little bit lost or something. So is epsilon n an n local system on x or on x tilde?
On x. And the point is we're associating this n local system on x with associated w local system x tilde to t local systems on x tilde. But we have to remember a bit extra, which is, how does n act on it? So this ought x epsilon n is you want a map action of w on x tilde and a map rho from L to w star L, where L is here the t bundle on x tilde.
So like most of the time, n is the semi-root product of p and w.
Well, what do you mean by most?
I'm a type A person.
Okay, yes. So, I need more space. So let's make a simplification of that for type A, and you can ignore the general case if you want. GLN, we have that
N is isomorphic to the semi-direct product of T with W. So in other words, the splits. And then the moduli of N shifted weakly W equivariant T local systems is isomorphic to, I mean, these objects are, or categories are the same, to W equivariant T local systems.
Even in type A, you care about SLN instead
of GLN. Yeah, so for SLN, it's not true.
Yes.
I'm just going to, how much time do I have?
Usually we sort of break at about 3:30.
Okay.
Sorry, 2:30.
I was just getting a bit worried there. But you know, I'm sure nobody's lynched for not going to 3:30. Okay, so for GLN, if I have a line bundle L to X bar, so X tilde, I'm move pi inverse of P to X is a W local system. And if I choose an embedding of Sn minus 1 in Sn, and there's n canonical embeddings, I can quotient by that, and each of those quotients provides a map pi I to X bar remove pi inverse of P. Now, if I have a line bundle on here, I can take the direct sum of the pullbacks of that line bundle or local system to X tilde. And this is the W equivariant T local system that I'm talking about. Okay. Well, that's half of point one covered. So, next, I want to talk about what this local, what this line segments that we cut along are.
This is probably because I write so I missed it, but why don't you have to worry about the branch points?
Essentially, it's because we said that the construction for GLN of pushing forward a local system didn't work at the branch points, and then we'd sort of fix it at the branch points by cutting and re-gluing. So here, when I'm considering the general G case, it still doesn't work at, the modification I'm going to give still doesn't work at the branch points, and we're going to fix it by cutting and re-gluing. Ah, yeah, so I should say that now the analog of L to pi star of L is induce an N local system to a G local system. Okay. So I have a map from X tilde to T twisted by this divisor. For each root, alpha, I can evaluate that on T, and I'm going to get a map to the total space of KXCD. So I can see it as giving myself an XC value differential form. Differential forms on XC pull back to differential forms on X tilde. So I can really see this as coming from a map tot of KX tilde C D, Or in other words, I've got a differential on x tilde associated to each root alpha, which is non-vanishing away from the ramification locus. Okay. Now, to this, I'm going to associate a real foliation on x tilde. I guess I should say remove ramification locus, which is going to work by, so if I have a vector field, I can require that chi alpha of v alpha is in R plus. That doesn't identify the vector uniquely. It identifies it up to scaling by a positive real number. So I get a projective real-oriented projective vector field. Or in other words, I get a direction at each point. Oh dear, this was not planned well. Oh no, I can push it all the way. Ah, but I can't. Yeah, we're going to deal with one screen. So, if we look at this around one of the ramification points, this is on x tilde, we have six line, and I'm drawing both the ones for alpha. No, I'm just doing the one for alpha. We have six straight lines that come in, and three of them are pointing outwards, three are pointing in, and the vector fields in between are doing that shape. Okay, so the next point to realize is that I can do this for every root alpha. If I do it for a root alpha and W alpha, the relation for the projective vector field on W alpha is it's equivalent to the one for alpha pulled back along the map x tilde to x tilde given by W. So in a way, drawing this for all roots at once is W equivariant. So then the next part that I want to do is at each ramification point, I'm sorry?
What sort of ramification?
So this is the case we had earlier where I'm dealing with SL3, the spectral cover is like this. The cameral cover is like this. So I have three sheets of the cameral cover. On each of them, I have that picture I drew earlier. And because it's W equivariant, it really you can take the push, you can take the lines starting at R and R along the projective vector field. And you do this for each alpha. And then you tank the image of these lines in X. So here, in the X tilde picture, I have these lines where, so there's the root alpha is these bold lines. For S alpha, which fixes that ramification point, minus alpha is these lines, and then there's some W moving me from here to here. That's labeled by W alpha. Then when I push forward, a pre-image of here is this point, this point, this point, this point, this point, and this point. So I end up getting three lines coming out. Okay. Then, so this will cancel the we're going to use these to cancel the ramification at the branch points, but we might get these lines intersecting, and then we'd get I don't know. So if this is a branch point, this is a branch point. We can cancel these, but we're going to get monodromy here if these factors don't commute. So what we do is we draw out new rays for every positive natural number combination of the two roots labeling these. And we call those new Stokes lines. So something we might be worried about is, are we going to keep on iterating this procedure and get everything being dense and it's going to be terrible? And the answer seems to be maybe, but when you try it, you usually don't have to. As long as you started with a point in the base which really has residues at each of the points in D. And one reason for that is a result I won't quite have time to say, but once you're on a line and you're in a certain radius of a point in the divisor D, as long as, with a restriction on the residue to be away from a codimension one, real codimension one locus, lines will always go to the point in D. Of roots, and then push forward to X. Okay, so that's told me what W is. What I still need to do is to say what the automorphisms I attached here are. And that's going to require me to say something about the monodromy condition. Oh, I do have one more picture, two pretty pictures here, which will probably be nicer. So this is an SL2 spectral network. It's really just the trajectories of this quadratic differential. You have three branch points, and that's the picture. And then the other example is an example with new Stokes lines, where you have two initial branch points, and you get lines coming out from these intersections. It's this was sort of realized in WKB analysis by B and R, and I really can't remember whose names those stand for. Okay, I think that's the pictures over though. What I want to say is, at branch points, trivialize the Camerel cover. Trivialize the Camerel cover near the branch point. And that means we can identify the monodromy of the W bundle with some S alpha. I'm also making an assumption. I'm working with a smooth cover here. So that then our restriction on monodromy is that the N monodromy is N S alpha T alpha, where T alpha is equal to the image of T SL2 inside TG, where we take the map associated with the root alpha from SL2 to G. There's a motivation for this in terms of spectral covers, which I won't say. Then, the key equation that makes this all work is that allows us to write the monodromy like so. And this is equal to if I got the signs right. I had this written on the piece of paper I had at the very front, and I do have the signs right.
Congratulations.
So we should use I alpha of these elements as the monodromy attached to these primary line segments, and there's a local system, so we can do that. Then to the new lines proposition. As long as all the roots intersecting planar in T, so we're really reducing it to two-dimensional root systems. There exist elements of U alpha for each. So again, we're going to have chosen a trivialization of the Camerel, so we actually have the root labels. And then we're just going to say everything's n equivariant for each outgoing line, such that the monodromy we end up getting is zero.
Sorry, what you said the restriction on the monodromy is that the N monodromy has to be in S alpha T alpha. What is that equation?
So what I really mean is that the monodromy is in the image under I alpha of N SL2 remove TSL2. So the TSL2 coset in N, which is not the identity. And essentially we iterate this construction, and provided you have a sufficiently nice network, you can do this. Again, we have examples, but we can't really have a good statement about when a good network exists. And this gives us this map here via this map factorizing. And I think I'll finish there.
So, any questions? What about the cluster varieties?
Okay. No, this is a really good question. So what happens is, so for SL2, where everything's true, then it's a theorem that there's a dense open set on which the networks are nice in the sense I meant.
And if you, and then basically the, what the map is comes down to the topology of this network. And as you change the topology, so one way you can change the topology is you have this, then you change it a bit, and you get this doubled walled one, which is one of the bad ones. And then you change it a bit more, and you get this. And then the coordinate cut charts are related by a cluster transformation. Now, so there is a similar statement that if you start, I mean, if you start with a network which is good in the way I didn't say, you change it a bit, it won't change the topology of the network, and so you'll remain the same. But for instance, this could happen with one quadratic differential. That gives you a change, and we're not really sure if that's a cluster transformation. We conjecture that it is. The other work I should mention is another work of Gautamura and Nightsky, which is spectral networks and snakes. And that realizes that I didn't have to draw these networks starting from a point in the Hitchin base. I could just draw networks with the right combinatorial properties. And I think the statement is you draw networks that correspond to particular Fock-Goncharov charts for SLN. And so it's actually a question that Ian Lee said we should think about is, well, now we have this one beyond SLN, what happens? But I haven't thought about it yet.
Would the spectral networks parameterize from the three dimension? So your spectral networks parameterize in a stable objects in the Foucault category of the conic bundle ramified spectral curve. So
okay,
if you take an arbitrary group G.
So they still should parameterize object, stable objects in some category, because as you move around the phase, you should get jumps when you have this sort of network. But I'm not really sure what it should be. I mean, my conjecture would be that for ADE, so you have that paper of Haydn, Katsikov, Konsevich, which realizes the Foucault category of a surface in terms of sort of integrating the matrix factorization category associated with an A2 singularity. Maybe one can do that for type D and E too. It's not at all clear to me what the category should be, except you really should be able to sort of be integrating the category over the surface. So. Sorry, I don't have a better answer.
You thought about 3D abelianization, meaning abelianization?
So again, this, so what do we need to change? We have to change, if you think about it in this picture, we have to change how we're assigning these automorphisms. Also, except, so there's that recent paper of Nightsky and Fei Yan, and they do it on a surface cross R, in which case your spectral network is just a spectral network on the surface cross R. So you know that if it works for the surfaces, which it seems to, it will work here. If it's not a surface cross R, I have no idea what to expect about whether, you know, the networks work. And
my suspicion is that the way to understand why you get cluster coordinates would be to look at the Bordism between the two.
The what?
The Bordism. You take the surface and explains an interval with the one spectral network on top and a different spectral network on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And interpolate between the two with a 3D spectral network, 3D abelianization network, whatever that is. Then my suspicion is that you'll get Lagrangian, which is just some very simple Kitchu Lagrangian. You get Lagrangian, which implements the class transformation. And perhaps one can show that's the case.
Sounds like a good idea, but I have nothing useful to say.